Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on March 8th, 2015, and is entitled, Brand Spankin' New Disciples.
My name is Victor. I'm in charge of the men's ministry here. Now, Pastor Paul asked me to pray for the sermon. Father, I just want to lift Pastor Paul up to you. I know that this room will be filled completely with the Holy Spirit, Father. And as he goes and speaks forward and brings your word to us today, Father, that it'll reach out and it'll touch everybody. And as we go out today, this afternoon, that we will still be filled with that Spirit and we'll be able to carry that out and touch other people, as I know many of these people in the room here do all the time, Father. I pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Victor, perfect. Thank you, Victor. Wasn't that special? Perfect. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I'm sure you have your Bibles. If you don't, you know where to find one. Acts chapter 1. We have been enjoying our study of the scriptures pertaining to the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit's in operation today. We're taking a look at something that the title of the message is Brand Spankin' New Disciples. Brand Spankin' New Disciples. I don't know if you've ever had where somebody came along and had some loopy ideas that you just say, that there's just no way that's going to happen. There are those reports from those who have invented some great inventions in our nation. And it was said of Thomas Jefferson that he told his friend Henry Ford to give up the idea of motor cars. It'll never happen. Can you imagine one inventor saying to another inventor? Probably the most famous one is from a clergyman called Milton. His name was Milton Wright. And Milton just completely in 1800 said there's no way that somebody could ever fly. Matter of fact, he went to a college and he said, I am convinced nothing new in my opinion will be ever invented. And then one of the educators at that college came along and said, you've got to be kidding, of course. Why, he says, in 50 years, I am predicting men will fly through the air like birds. That same clergyman, Milton Wright, said these words. He says, man, flight is reserved for angels, and you are nigh unto blasphemy. It could never happen. Now, if you're not familiar with Milton Wright, he's the father of the two Wright brothers. Isn't that amazing? That launched the first flight right there in Kitty Hawk area. So when we take a look, and we're looking here at Acts chapter 1, can you imagine what kind of a loopy idea would we be looking at when Jesus himself says, listen, disciples, you're going to go into all the world and be a witness for me. How could that happen? Seriously. And yet we know that in 30 years, the gospel, in 30 years' time, when Jesus says, go into all the world, that literally started taking place because they started in Jerusalem and Judea and unto Samaria, then all of a sudden Asia Minor and Greece, and then they penetrated into Rome. 100 years after Jesus ascended, man, literally the gospel went all around the world. And this is Mission Sunday. And it's going to take a newness in people to be able to say, what is our responsibility? So we're dealing with these same men we've been studying over the last few weeks. They have the same personalities, the same flaws. Remember when we saw in John chapter 20, verse 22, where Jesus says, don't fear. And then he breathed on them that received the Holy Spirit. And that was where they became born again. Born again. In other words, you remember that day, many of you, that you just knew something happened and you were more aware of than at other times about God and his word, and you had more of a longing for him. You came alive, like Jesus says, born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit, John 3:3. But we're taking a look here. Something's about to happen to these disciples. And you can say that their life was not boring. And if there's ever anybody here that may say life is boring or even being a Christian is boring, gotta be kidding me. My life is so exciting. And can you imagine, we really do live in a bored society and we have so many things to enjoy, from theme parks to electronics. I mean, it's all out there. And then there will still be our children that'll say, Dad, I'm bored. You got to be kidding me. So living for Jesus is very exciting, friends. And if you're still thinking about where God fits in your agenda, consider them today. I like 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have now become new. And we're taking a look at some new things here in these disciples, brand spanking new. And that's available for you as well. I'm sure it's already happened. But let's look at, first of all, point number one, a new presence, the resurrection. I'm reading from the New King James rendering. If you've got another translation, that's fine. But let me read verses 1 through 8. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Take a look here, because the new presence, Jesus is going to take a look and bring some newness to these guys and gals. And the new presence, the resurrection, we're just really, really, really just days away from, as Christians who rightfully celebrate the best, and that is Easter. But we're taking a look here. Look at verse 1 through 3. Right off, there is an introductory remark. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Friends, this is Luke who is writing the book of Acts. He was really shadowing Paul and others during the beginning stages of the early church. It's the same Luke that wrote the book of Luke, and he's writing to this man. There's his name, Theophilus. He says, the former account. Now, that's interesting. What did he write? Of those things both that Jesus did and taught. Now, that's what he's wrote about. In Luke, that's what he's saying. Those former things, those remarks Jesus taught, man, there's something now new I want to write about. That's what he's about to say. There's something new that's going on, a new presence, and he's looking here. So there is coming attractions. That's what he's saying. I want to now tell you about this. There's a sequel to what Jesus both did and taught. That's awesome. That's what he's writing about. Here we go. Here we go. So when he's looking at these things, now Jesus, there's a couple of finished works, and there certainly is unfinished. First, Jesus finished one thing. That was redemption. How many know that's finished? It's a finished product. But there's still unfinished work. And that's why Luke is starting to describe this. That unfinished work is to proclaim the gospel everywhere. Friends, the finished work, redemption, is already done. But there's something that's still being laid out here today. You and I are here today. The book of Acts is an unfinished book. We get to be a part of the parts of the book of Acts. Wouldn't it be great? I'm a part, you're a part. It's why we do missions. It's so wonderful. So look at verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, verse 2 is the first time the Holy Spirit's mentioned. In the book of Acts, well over 50 times, the Holy Spirit is mentioned. We've been talking about him. Holy Spirit is God. We can see here through the Holy Spirit. So all of a sudden, we have the direction in verse 3, how that Jesus himself, alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now let's take a look. Here we go. Resurrection, verse 3. 40 days. Jesus just didn't come out of the grave and said, hey, see you later, hasta mañana. He was around for 6 weeks, a month and a half. cameo appearances, 40 days, proving infallible proofs he's alive. Now that had brought in a new presence and excitement to those disciples, wouldn't it you? Can you imagine what that's like? The Lord, their friend, their mentor, is alive. He's alive. That's going to make them so excited. And it did, and they were excited about that. And all of a sudden, these cowards become heroes. Something took off. The resurrection, when it really impacts people, it happens to make something new of the presence of God in our lives. I'm so glad we celebrate at least once a year. It was a big theme in the early church. It's what got the Apostle Paul in trouble talking about the resurrection from the dead. They said, what? That's weird. Jesus resurrected. Can you imagine? These dudes and ladies, they suffered and died for their faith, believing Jesus resurrected. We have Stephen was the first martyr stoned. It's recorded in Acts 7, verse 59. How about Matthew? Matthew, history says he was chopped to pieces by a battle axe in Ethiopia. You have the aspect where James in chapter 12, verse 2, he was beheaded. We have any of that going on today? He was. It's recorded there. You have James the Less. He had his brains beat out with a fuller's club. You have also Peter, we know that, hung upside down, crucified. Why would these individuals go through that if the resurrection was not real? They had a new presence saying, Jesus is alive. It's an amazing thing. The convincing, it's amazing. One of the things that just impressed me about following Jesus early on was that these records, these love letters to you and me, these are sayings of a person who's alive. He's alive. He's not dead. I mean, we've got some great writings of some dead folks out there, right? In some of the museums. Not so here. Person that put this together, he's alive. Man, that made an impact upon those early disciples. How about number two? A new power, the infusion. Let's look at verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Take a look at verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. When looking here, a new power, can you imagine the enthusiasm of just spending time with Jesus when he's there? The excitement. I mean, 40 days of communing. Remember when Jesus says, I've got many things to tell you in John's gospel, but you're not able to take them on now. Because they were grieving over his declaration, I'm leaving. And it's to your advantage, I'm going, because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit will not come. But now, 40 days, they had a lot of talk going on. And the excitement of that. And he's telling them, listen, don't go out just telling what you've seen and heard in your own power. That's what he's now going to tell them. You need to be infused. I have gone and tried to tell people about Jesus with my own power. Maybe you have too. And then I go home and I realize maybe I'm not called to do this. Nothing happened. I felt dry and dilapidated. That's what Jesus was telling the disciples. Hey, you've seen the resurrection. You've seen me. You've heard me. You've got a story to tell, but don't go till you receive power. Look at verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. When we look at that, isn't that amazing? We, friends, I know it's your heart's desire to see your loved ones saved. Maybe your friend that you brought to church today. Thank you, friend, for coming. It's God's heart. People get to know the gospel, get to know God, not just church, get to know God. If we're going to do that, we need the right equipment. Isn't that true? I mean, if you go into any profession, you want the right equipment. If you're a surgeon, don't you want the right equipment? Somebody's going to be going after you. Hello. If you're a mechanic, don't you want just a whole big garage full of the right tools? Everybody else there with me? How about a pilot? I mean, if you're a pilot, you want the right equipment. If you're going to be a Christian and make any kind of, you want the right equipment. That's the Holy Spirit. Please don't try doing this Christian stuff on your own power. Don't do that. Jesus didn't let the early church. He doesn't want you to just go and try to work it, maneuver it, and learn some technique. Move in the power of the Holy Spirit. I love the aspect in World War II. They had this little slide. I don't know if you've seen it. It's kind of a classic. They had a little infantry soldier with a rifle standing next to this massive tank. And they said, our infantry needs the right equipment for the enemy's tanks. The next slide, the infantry soldier is now larger, and he has a bazooka, and the tank squeals down to this little. Says, now that equals the odds. Isn't it true? To go out and to be who you need to be, for you need the right equipment, the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing? The Holy Spirit. Are you hearing? Holy Spirit. You cannot even adequately, even obey God correctly without the Holy Spirit. So when we take a look here, man, we have the resurrection and we have the power. That would make any Christian new. Let's look at Acts chapter 2 for a moment, verse 37. Let's go to the right. Acts 2, 37. Remember, timid Peter denied the Lord three times, gets filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, we have a sermon there in Acts 2. And the people get convicted. Verse 37 says, and when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift. Everybody say gift. Of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all. Everybody say to all. To all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. That gift of the Holy Spirit is to whoever is hearing God say, give your life to me. I have a gift for you. That wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. Man, and when we take a look at this, isn't it interesting? Because the infilling of the Holy Spirit through the apostolic era wasn't just in this one era. It was years and years even after the early church described how they were influenced and moved by the power of the Holy Spirit with prophecy and with miracles. So we take a look here, a couple of words worth noting back in chapter 1. Look at verse 8. But you shall receive power. So the word power, and the other one, you shall be witnesses. You shall receive power, you shall be witnesses. Now, when we look at that, it's worth noting because that word power is dunamis, and it literally means the ability or an efficiency to just do anything, just about anything. It has a mighty efficiency. We get our Greek word dunamis, we get our word dynamite out of that. Jesus is saying, you're going to have an ability to do what you need to do by the Holy Spirit. That's the joy for me personally. When I received the infilling of the Holy Spirit at age 13, that made a game changer for me from a shy boy, and I mean a shy boy. It was nothing short of a miracle, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I'm convinced, and I'm glad to say my children filled with the Holy Spirit as little children has made a big impact upon them and their homes. Every, regardless of age. Matter of fact, the more Christ or childlike in our approach, the ones receive the easiest what God has for us. So we take a look here, power that God has. How about the other word is witness? Can you see that? You shall be witnesses or witness for me. And that word witness, literally, the translation is martyr. You are going to be a martyr for me. That means, hey, like the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 2:20, hey, I live, yet not I, But the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. I'm alive, but it's not me anymore. Something comes along where we realize I'm willing to do what I need to do to be what I can be for God and witness to the world. That is still unfinished business. We need to still proclaim Jesus died for your sins, my friend. Do you have any sins? Yes. Well, there's a remedy for it, and I'm here to tell you all about him. I like it in John 7. Would you just slide over to John 7? To the left of Acts, John 7, verse 37. Easy number to remember, John 7, verse 37, 38, and 39. Look what Jesus said here. He said, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if anyone thirsts, and that means anyone, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. For he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I'm telling you, when a person's filled with that kind of living water, everybody starts to feel closer to God and even wants God. Now, what was he talking about? Verse 39, the Holy Spirit translates what Jesus is saying. Look at the definition. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So let me just put it this way. Man, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Can you imagine? We just said, I've got a glass, and it's filled with water, but it's not really affecting anyone. But we do have a nice, cool glass of water. Until I would take a pitcher of water and then pour it into that glass to where it's overflowing. Now it's going to affect everything around that glass. That's what God wants to do through you. That Holy Spirit wants to wonderfully come and fill you to overflowing. And as the scripture says, out of their innermost being will flow rivers of living water. What a wonderful thing that God has provided. Look at number three, a new perspective, representation. In verse 6, I think it's worth noting in verse 1, it says, and therefore, when they had come together and asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Now, it's interesting because really Jesus comes along. They're wanting to know eschatology. When are you coming again? When is the kingdom going to happen? When's that rapture going to take place? And Jesus really dismisses that. Have you noticed that? Let's not talk about when the end times are going to come. That's what Jesus is trying. But what I do want you to notice is, I want you to go out and be witnesses. There is something to be done. Just like we would just sometimes, even today, just say, man, what's the signs of Christ coming? And I believe it's very soon. But that's not something we focus on. Even here, Jesus says, it is not for you to know the times or the season. It's really up to the Father's own authority, but still people try. Isn't that true? Scripture says no man knows the day or the hour. But friends, what should we do in the meantime? You and I have got to tell somebody about Jesus. Remember that book out, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Should Come Back in 88, and then he didn't. Aren't you glad? Some of you should be very glad. You would not be saved if he came back in 1988. You'd be dust. I'm glad he didn't come back. And that was his intention, to get the good news to you and to get the good news all flowing through you to affect others as well. So, Jesus return? Nope. Rather, let's get the declaration of the gospel out. Very important. Very important. He says, but you shall be witnesses. That's what he's telling them. It's not for you to know, verse 7, times or the seasons. Just don't spend a lot of time on that. What should we be doing? Verse 8, but you shall be my witnesses. Everybody get that one? I get it. Is there somebody you know that doesn't know Jesus? Do you know anybody that you are not aware of, whether they've ever said yes or no to Christ? If you have someone like that, Let them know God loves them. Invite them to Hope Chapel. Invite people to Hope Chapel. Oh, friend. There's still time. There's still time. That's what God is wanting of us. Remember in Luke chapter 19, verse 11? Luke 19, he spoke a parable about a king who went off on a far journey. And he spoke that parable. Verse 11 says, he spoke this parable because he was near Jerusalem and they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. They said, I got to just really quail their jets. It may not happen. He's going to come. But you've got something to do. But you need the right equipment. We need the Holy Spirit. Let's take a look here. And I remember going off to Bible college. That was in 1980. Some of you, many of you weren't even born yet. I look at your fate. You're so young looking. I remember people saying, Paul, why would you do that? Jesus is going to come. That's a waste of time. And I just wanted to be the best I could be. Don't do that. Wow, I'm so glad I did. Take that time to prepare myself for the ministry. But there were people that said, boy, he's coming. He's coming. And sometimes you can, and I can, still get that. He's coming. So just hunker down and wait for the explosion. Get the gospel out there. Let's take a look at number four, finally, a new plan, which is the commission. In verse 8, a new plan. Matter of fact, let's not focus on the times of the season. He says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And that literally happened. Think locally, but then you want to think globally. You might begin locally, think globally. And our GO team, the GO is Global Outreach, an acronym. Global, let's go for it, beyond even our own Jerusalem of Huntington Beach. So when we look here, they did that. Chapters 1 through 7, they began in Jerusalem. It's all about Jerusalem. Chapters 8 through 10 of Acts, and they were going in to Samaria and Judea, the upper regions there. Then the following, chapter 10 and 11, they began to go to the known world where missionaries were sent out, like the Apostle Paul, Barnabas, Silas, those guys. Amazing. Literally. How about personally? Personally. Where do you fit in? Really. Because you remember those disciples, the then and the now, how did they get so new? Then, before all this took place of Acts 1, remember, they just felt so confused before. They were angry before. They were bitter before. They were absolutely confused and hopeless before. And Jesus shows up. And he says, this is what I have for you to do. This is what I have for you to do. Boy, we should never say being a Christian's boring. It's a great adventure. It really, I mean, if you're into it, if you're into living for Jesus, it's a great adventure. It's a great adventure. You don't have to bring in other things to keep your mind occupied. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 11, verse 13. You can see that right there at the bottom of your notes. Let's look at Luke 11. And you see verse 13. We're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to come right at your seat. We're going to prepare for that. Jesus said this, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so will your heavenly Father give the what? To those who do what? How much more so will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That's all it takes. We're just going to ask God. Friends, we're going to ask God right now as we even just drop the house lights. Reason why we're doing this, it's a gift for many of you. The many of you who Sunday is just your only time to have interaction and to be introduced to the things of God. We may not have a mini church. We don't have midweek services we attend. We're not into Bible studies. We rarely turn on Christian broadcasting. And I love this about Hope Chapel. Friends, you can always guarantee we will talk about Holy Spirit and gifts of the Spirit. We offer something many may not. Many may not. Many may not. They should if they're going for the book of Acts. So Jesus says, you daddies who try your best, but you're evil, you still wouldn't give your children a bad thing when they ask. That's what he's talking about. So your Heavenly Father's not going to give you something evil either when you ask for the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying. Don't think God, the Holy Spirit's evil to those who ask. Verse 10, can you see that there? For everyone who asks receives. Everybody see that? Verse 10? Can you repeat that after me? For everyone who asks receives. Again, for everyone who asks receives. One more time. For everyone who asks receives. So we're going to have you and me ask for the Holy Spirit. Because everyone who asks receives. How much more so will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Why? Because everyone who asks receives. There is a prayer in the bottom here. We're just going to read out loud together. If you're not quite sure if you're ready for that, don't worry about it. But this is for you who are probably never ready for something like this. Because you need the equipment to get the job done. The right equipment is the Holy Spirit. Not another Sunday. Not even a good Bible lesson. Not even a study series. Jesus says you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's what we're going to ask right now. But maybe you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus. Remember, Peter said, this gift's for all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Is God calling you to get saved? You still need to even get water baptized? Let's get you saved first. Let's just pray a simple little prayer for salvation. You just close your eyes with me for a moment. Let's all repeat this little prayer. It goes like this. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. You are the Savior of the world. And I declare to you, Lord, you are now my Savior and my Lord. Wash me clean of all my sins. Come into my life now to stay forever. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, we've had some wonderful situations here, friends, over these last few weeks of just waiting on the Holy Spirit. This is probably going to be one of the most outstanding experiences for you. I'm glad you're not too tired. Here we go. You take that in your hand. And as we would just rehearse a prayer after somebody, it's more an issue of the heart. More an issue of the heart than of the wording even. And let's read this out loud together. I will go slow. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to baptize me in the power of the Holy Spirit. Pour out your Spirit upon me. Fill every part of my being so that I am flooded with your power and presence. Do for me what you've done for millions of other people around the world. I want to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in my life as my comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, and strengthener. Thank you for your unconditional love. Give me the grace to daily seek your face and allow your Spirit to have full control of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Please close your eyes for a moment. Let's just now wait on the Holy Spirit. Wait on Him. He's here. While your eyes are still closed, oftentimes, friends, there's just something of a gratitude in your heart that wants to come to the surface. and you just want to speak a prayer, oftentimes even that could be your new spiritual language. And I just encourage you, Scripture in 1 Corinthians 14 says, do not forbid to speak with tongues. But the liberty that we enjoy here at Hope Chapel. Could I invite you now just to start mumbling your thanks to the Lord in English? Just English. Lord, thank you. Thank you for filling me full of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Let the wind of your own voice come out of your own mouth. Lord, thank you. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, O Lord. Keep that going. Just, Lord, however you want to just thank him. Tell him how much you love him. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to shift, and let's just see. You who are able to speak a prayer language, I want you to speak in tongues. Others who are waiting for that ability, watch how it happens. Lord, we thank you, O Lord. We give you praise. We praise you, Lord. We cannot thank you and praise you enough. The beauty of the Lord. Thanking you continually. Let's shift over right now. Would you just change to your prayer language? Let's just thank the Lord in the spirit, means tongue. Lord, we thank you. Bless Hope Chapel. Bless these dear ones who are here right now, hearing my voice. Lord, I intercede for them by the Holy Spirit's leading. Those that find themselves weakened and confused, Lord, lift that. Who are extremely lonely. Lord, I pray for them in the Spirit. Those who are being bombarded by darkness and are assaulted physically, Lord, bring healing. I pray for them now. Those who are fearful and afraid, Lord, remove that spirit of fear. Bring a spirit of adoption. I pray for them now in the Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Friends, what a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. This is a mission Sunday, just like Acts 1 and 2. Jesus would say the very same things and did today. A newness that comes upon all of us. And a commissioning as well. I'm trusting that we'll get a chance to see people brought into the kingdom because we prayed. And God's going to use us. Well, I need to dismiss you out so that you can find other forms of refreshments like fellowship with each other. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. We have individuals that are here for prayer. Ainsley, my wife, and I will be right here. If you feel, I just feel I need something more, like the laying on of hands for that wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit, we're here. And please forgive me for not bidding you hello out front. Ainsley, would you join me? And those prayer individuals, come forward as well. We're wanting to just make sure if you need prayer for any reason that you come on up here. What a great day. Would you go ahead, if that's appropriate, let's just thank the Lord. Let's put our hands together and say, Lord, thank you. I want to just say this. If somehow you've never spoken in tongues, but you asked for the infilling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you will speak in tongues. You did receive the infilling, because everyone who asked received. The ability to pray in another language, be confident it's going to happen. And it may be even this evening or this afternoon. It'll happen. It'll happen. Don't despair. God bless you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. We just love you this wonderful season of Easter. Lord, thank you for a resurrection that took place in many of our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.